Romans chapter 10. The title of the message this morning is The Excellency of the Gospel of Faith. The Excellency of the Gospel of Faith. The rest of it would be above, the excellency of the gospel, above the law. Above the law. Romans chapter 10. We are picking up Paul's explanation of how salvation can apply to both the Jewish nation and to all the Gentile nations at the same time. Let's go ahead and read chapter 10, verses. I'll go ahead and start in verse 1, but we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 13. Verse 1 of chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven?" That is, to bring Christ down from above. "Or, Who shall descend into the deep?" That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is, the word of faith, which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Father, help us to understand it. Help us to take it from here and use it in our lives to share it with others and be a witness for you. Father, I pray that you bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Paul's explanation again of how salvation can apply to both the Jewish nation and to all the Gentile nations at the same time. The last argument Paul has stated is the great truth that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, meaning that Christ is the fulfillment. He becomes the obedience of the law to every person that believes on his name. Those that trust and believe in Jesus Christ are looked upon by God to have fully obeyed his law by Christ having obeyed it. Now, continuing on from there, Paul shows the excellency of the gospel of faith over the law by comparing the ability of these two things, the law, Moses, the Mosaic law, and the gospel of faith, their two abilities to produce righteousness in a man. Which one's better? Which one is more effective? And the argument here, he begins by stating the standpoint of the law. The standpoint of the law. Verse 5 again. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Okay, so he is enumerating in this one verse the merits of the law, what the law can do to bring righteousness to a man, the ability that the law has. And the phrase, righteousness which is of the law, in this verse, reveals the first way in which the gospel is superior to the law. Righteousness which is of the law, it's of the law. Theoretically speaking, and again, that's important, an important phrase right here. Theoretically speaking, okay? A person could attain righteousness under the law. Jesus Christ did. He proved it. It could be done. But we can't. We all fail. But the question is, under the law, how many different people groups could attain righteousness under the law? how many different nations were allowed to attain righteousness under the law? One. The Jews. So what about all the Gentiles? Well, a Gentile that wanted to obey the law was commanded by that very law to become a Jew. And so a Gentile could not fully obey the law and remain a Gentile. He had to become a Jew. So the very first downside to the law is that only the Jews could attain righteousness under the law. Only the Jews. Go with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This is the verse that makes that plain. Exodus 12, 48. And this is talking about the Passover. Of course, they were all commanded to participate in the Passover. Verse 48 of Exodus chapter 12. And when a stranger, that word stranger means not an Israelite, a Gentile, anyone who's not born an Israelite. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Become a Jew. Become a Jew. So the very first downside to the law is that it's only for Jews, really, to fulfill all of the law. Only a Jew can fulfill all of the law. And praise God, there was a Jew that fulfilled all the law, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Romans chapter 10, please. Verse 5, again. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Under the law, righteousness before God could be attained, theoretically, could be attained by successful obedience to the law. 100% successful obedience, never failing type of obedience. Okay? For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Someone might not understand right here what Paul is saying. And someone might claim from this verse, see there? The Old Testament saints were not saved by faith. They were saved by works. Okay? Old Testament saints were saved differently than we are today. Somebody could misunderstand what Paul is saying in this verse and claim that from this verse. But please understand, Paul here, and by the way, Paul through Moses, he's quoting Moses. Paul through Moses is not describing Old Testament salvation. He's not describing Old Testament salvation. He is describing how to earn righteousness under the law. The answer to that is to obey the law fully, 100%, all your life long, from the moment of birth until you're dead. And nobody has done that. No one except Jesus Christ has attained righteousness through the law. We've all failed. We've all broken it. Okay, so this verse is not describing Old Testament salvation. This verse is describing how every man broke the law, if anything at all. Okay? And how that Jesus fulfilled it. Paul's quoting Moses here, whose statement only applies to one single person, the Lord Jesus. Moses is not saying everyone who has tried to keep the law earned life eternal. Certainly not. Everyone who tried to keep the law broke the law, except the Lord. But this verse is almost a prophecy, is basically a prophecy promising that there would be the man. Notice the phrase again. It's a singular phrase here. That the man. How did Moses know there would be one man? Well, I think the Lord made him say the right words. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. There only was one man who fulfilled that. This is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. There would be one man who would do this. Not many, not several, but one. And so it's a prophecy about Jesus Christ, the man, singular, who will keep and do all the law. Jesus will live them fully every day of his life. And only he did. Only he did. So Old Testament saints, this verse is not describing how Old Testament saints got saved. Because all the Old Testament saints broke the law, you see. They did not receive the righteousness which was of the law. They needed to be saved by God's grace just like we do today. The Old Testament saints were all saved by faith. All saved by faith, the same way we are. Faith in God's promises. We could also say they were saved by faith in God's word. Because God's promises and God's word are one and the same. If God said it, it's not going to be broken. It's his word. If God said it, it's a promise. So faith in God's promises is what saved the Old Testament saints. Go with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. This is in the Old Testament, of course. And we see Habakkuk tells us how Old Testament saints received righteousness. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. The last half of the verse is what we're looking at. But the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. The Old Testament saints received life, life eternal, by faith in God. Okay? So it's the same way we are saved today, faith in God. Turn to Romans chapter 4. We've seen this in our series already, but we need to be reminded of it right here. Romans chapter 4. All the Old Testament saints were saved by faith in God's promises. Romans 4, 2 and 3. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And that's a theoretical statement. He was not justified by works. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. He believed God's word. He believed God's promises. He believed what God told him. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For righteousness. Skip down to verse 20. What was that, the promise that Abraham believed that God ascribed to him righteousness for believing God? Verse 20 of the same chapter 4. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Well, what promises were they? Well, the one about a son, you will receive a son, and I'm going to give you the land, and your children will be a nation, and they will inherit the land. He believed all of those promises by faith, and God ascribed to him, imputed unto him, righteousness. Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. He believed God. Believed God's promises. They were saved by faith in God's promises, just the way we are today. The only, we'll talk about that more in just a little bit, I believe. Yeah. The law was simply intended to prove they needed a Savior. The law was not given to provide them eternal life. The law was just given to prove they needed a Savior, to show them how sinful they were. A schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, to bring them to God. And it was also given, the law, it was also given for the believers, like David. The law was given to them to be an outworking of their faith. Just like good works today is our, the believers, outworking of our faith, the law was the outworking of the Old Testament saints' faith, you see. So it was a schoolmaster to bring them to God, but after they came to God and believed in God, it was what God said to do to prove your faith. to show your faith to others, you see. Go back now to Romans chapter 10. Finishing up verse 5. Righteousness before God could be attained by successful obedience to the law. Everybody failed but Jesus Christ. Everybody failed but Jesus Christ. Righteousness, which is of the law, could only be attained by the Jew, not the Gentile. The Gentile must convert to be a Jew. Now finishing up verse 5, righteousness before God can be attained by the Jew by keeping the law perfectly all his life, but only Jesus ever has or ever will accomplish that. So to enumerate the superiorness of the law, there's three things that are being pointed out here for us. For the law, in the law, it was for Jews. Jews could attain the righteousness of the law, or those who became a Jew. Number two, the law must be kept perfectly to attain righteousness. Number three, the law says only one person did. Only one person should go to heaven. The law says only one person should be in heaven, Jesus Christ. Everybody else should be judged and should go to the devil's hell. That's what the law says. We're all guilty. That is the merits of the law. That's what Paul is trying to enumerate here. Now, let's look at the superiority of the gospel of faith. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. The righteousness which is by faith speaketh on this wise. And then where does Paul go from there? Where is Paul quoting from in the next few verses? He's going to Deuteronomy. Right into Deuteronomy, right into the law. Within the law itself. Paul is indicating here that from the very beginning of the law, the very giving of the law, salvation has always come by faith. Even when the law was given, salvation still came by faith. Old Testament saints broke the law. They didn't fulfill the law, they broke it, and they were not saved by works. They had to be saved by faith. The only difference between our faith today and the Old Testament saints' faith is that we've been given more information. We've been given more specific information about the Messiah that God commands us to put our faith in. That's the only difference between us and the Old Testament saints' salvation. We know more. We're commanded to put our faith specifically in certain things. For instance, we're supposed to put our faith in this, Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. And this verse is referring to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we've been giving specific information about who to put our faith in. The Old Testament saints simply had to put their faith in Jehovah. They had to put their faith in Jehovah and his promises. And if they did that, it was imputed unto them for righteousness. Okay? So the righteousness which is by faith speaketh on this wise. They all had to be saved by faith. Nobody ever was saved by the works of the law. And from verse 6 through verse 8, Paul gives us another one of those hard-to-understand passages. Let's go ahead and read this hard-to-understand passage again. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And right now he's beginning to quote Deuteronomy. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And now he stops quoting Deuteronomy. And he gives us the explanation of what that meant to us in the New Testament. Who shall ascend into heaven? Paul says, that is, to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7, he begins to quote Deuteronomy again. Or, who shall descend into the deep? Stops quoting, gives the explanation. That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? Again, he begins to quote. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, he stopped quoting it now. And he gives the explanation. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now let's go to Deuteronomy and let's read the passage. Deuteronomy 30. And it's not an exact word-for-word quote. God gave Paul the liberty to change some words. Change some words. God can do that. We can't do it today. But God had the right to do it. It's his word. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 14 is where this quote is taken from. Deuteronomy 30, 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Okay, that's the phrase, the quote, the passage that he's quoting. Go back now to verse 6 again. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Okay? So what Paul is doing, he's quoting an Old Testament passage, and because the Old Testament was all given to us in four pictures, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving us what that passage meant to us in the New Testament. He's revealing what the picture was for us. Okay? Which we probably wouldn't have understood unless Paul had done that. So the phrase, who shall ascend into heaven, was a picture of Christ needs to come down from heaven and show me the gospel. He needs to show me himself. He needs to show me everything that he did. I need proof. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. I need to be like Thomas. I need to see it to believe it. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. I need to see his death, burial, and resurrection to believe. That's what I need. He is saying in verse 6, the last half of verse 6, faith, this is the law of faith we're talking about. Faith does not require Christ to be brought down from heaven to be seen before he can be believed. The law of faith does not require that. In verse 7, faith does not require my eyes to behold the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ before I will believe it. It's faith. It's believed by faith. Verse 8. He begins verse 8, but what saith it? What does the law of faith say? And the law of faith, what is faith crying out? Faith is crying out the message of faith that Paul is preaching here. What saith it? What saith the law of faith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And Paul tells us the picture. What is it picturing? That picturing? It's picturing that is the word of faith, which I, Paul, preach. You see. And what is that message that Paul is preaching? What is faith crying out continually to mankind? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the word of faith that is being preached and cried out. You see, the excellency of faith. So Paul is comparing those first three things that he mentioned, that he alluded to about the law. And he's now comparing those things that the law says, the law gives, as who is righteous, who received the righteousness of the law. Now he shows us who receives the righteousness by faith. Who can? The law had to be kept. The law is work that must be done. The law says, do, do, do. But the law of faith simply declares, with your heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Verse 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The law of faith is vastly superior to the law of Moses. The law had to be kept. There's nothing to keep. Faith declares there's nothing to keep. Just believe. Believe with your heart. Secondly, the law declared it's only for the Jews. It's only for the Gentile that becomes a Jew. Only Jews could earn all the righteousness of the law. Only one Jew did. But faith in God's promises has multiplied the invitation exponentially by saying it's not just the Jew anymore. It's not just the Jew. Romans 10:11-12. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The law of faith is far superior to the law of Moses. Lastly, before I go to that last one, I need to talk about this phrase, the Jew and the Greek, because we in our American thinking are very far removed from why that's in the Bible. But it is often repeated throughout Paul's epistles. He often refers to there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's one Lord over all. He mentions that phrase, Jew and Greek, Gentile and Jew, frequently. Why? Because the early church had a big problem. They were just transitioning from the Old Testament into the New. And in the Old Testament, the Jews were very, very much entrenched in their thinking, the thinking that I was alluding to. Jews could be saved. Jews could earn righteousness. Jews were right with God. If you're a Gentile, you're not. Okay? Even if you were a Gentile believing in Jehovah, to the Jew, if you remained a Gentile, you're still not right with God. To our way of thinking, for a Gentile to be believing in Jehovah but remain a Gentile, in the Old Testament, to put it in our way of saying it, they are a backslidden Christian. They're living in sin, you see. They're living in sin. To the Jew in the Old Testament. That would be the equivalent today of what it was like. For the Gentile to be actually as right with God as he could be, he needs to become a Jew. And so, as the early church is established, these Jews who are entrenched in that thinking, these Gentiles are being added to the church. Black Jews are being added to the church. And Orthodox Jews who got saved are looking at their brothers and sisters in Christ thinking, well, when are you going to become a Jew? When are you going to get right with God? Because Deuteronomy 30, verse whatever we looked at, is in the Bible. What's wrong with you guys? Become a Jew. Don't you know? It's as plain as the nose on my face. Why don't you see it? You're backslidden, Gentile brothers and sisters. But that's the Old Testament. And Paul is trying to break that entrenched thinking. And now today, we are so far removed from it, we don't even consider it. All we consider is, yes, I'm a Gentile, and God opened the door for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord, I can be saved. And there's me. I'm allowed into the fold of God. That's what we think. But in the early church, this was a big, big deal. The brethren were judging other brothers because they didn't become a Jew all the way. And they thought, well, you're a backslidden Christian. You're living in sin. How dare you do that? But it wasn't like that at all. God wasn't looking at them like that. Things had changed. And that is why that phrase, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, that phrase or a similar thing is found all over the New Testament. Because it was serious, serious entrenched thinking that had to be broken, had to be retaught. So anyway, the superiority of the law of faith, it's not just for the Jew anymore. It's for anyone, anyone. Lastly, the law declared heaven has been earned by one person and one person only. When we stand at the judgment seat, if the law were in effect, Jesus Christ would be alone in heaven with God the Father. No other person would join him in heaven. That's the law. But faith has thrown open the gates of heaven, Romans 10:13. The law of faith declares, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The superiority of faith over the law. There's no equivalence. The law is overshadowed by faith. The righteousness which is by faith has far surpassed the righteousness which was attained by the law. By the law, Jesus Christ alone was declared righteous, but by faith in Christ, millions upon millions have been made righteous. In closing, let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. By faith, you can receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness he earned by living a perfect life can be imputed unto your account. And millions upon millions have partaken of his righteousness. Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Millions and millions have partaken of the righteousness of God. Most of us here have, I hope you have. And you can today, by faith in Jesus Christ alone, for salvation. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the righteousness which is available in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the superiority of faith over the law. Thank you that you caused faith to be what is required for salvation and not endless perfect works. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Father, if there's one here today that does not know Jesus, would you continue to speak to that heart, even as we close now, and draw them to yourself. Lord, I pray for our little ones, that each one of them would know Jesus Christ. Each one of them would turn to Christ when they understand. Bless this message, I pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen.